Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Slow Your Roll. Life can be crazy, like out of control crazy. And sometimes the best thing we can do is learn to simplify, because sometimes simpler is better. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome you. We're concluding a series called Slow Your Roll. Now, the reason why we've been looking at this is because the description of too many of our lives are summed up in three words. We're overwhelmed, we're overscheduled, and we're overextended. And you might say, that describes me. That describes me. And what we want to talk about today is relationships. Because the fact of the matter is, when we're overwhelmed, we're overscheduled, we're overextended, it has tremendous impact on relationships. Now, you might be saying today, you know, I don't even know how I got here, Dwight. But it's true. I have a sense of feeling overwhelmed, overscheduled, and overextended. And I'm sure there's way too many of us here today who would say that describes me. But you don't know how you got there, because you have good intentions. You know, you thought to yourself, you know, I want these kind of relationships. I want this kind of marriage. I want this kind of family. And you had good intentions, but the fact of the matter is, it's not going as well as what you had hoped. And so you find yourself overwhelmed and overscheduled and overextended. And it's having a very, very impactful effect on your relationships. Maybe you just think, well, hey, you know what? It's just the rat race of life. But here's what you need to realize. Even if you win the rat race of life, you're still a rat. And that's not good. And so I want to let you know that you can change. I can change. I want you to know that I want to help you today in this specific area of relationships, because there's nothing more important on planet Earth than our relationships with one another. So we need to learn to slow our roll. And if you haven't been here, I encourage you to download the podcasts and look at those, because I think they're very, very helpful and they're definitely very practical. So what does it mean to slow your roll? Even in the area of relationships, here's what it means. It means to create margin. Slow your roll. And margin is the space between my load and my limits. It means living with margin means that I'm not using up all that I have, but I'm reserving some of my time, my energy, and resources for the important and the unexpected. The unexpected. I'm saving some of my resources for the important. What is that? Well, that would be relationships. Relationships. And yet, the thing that relationships take is time. It's time. And it's something that you and I would say, I just don't have enough of. But here's the amazing thing. Just look around you, okay? Everybody here today has 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. Nobody gets more time than you, nobody gets less time than you. We all get the same amount. And that's why this is so huge. Now, maybe you've heard this, but I want to give it to us anyways. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E, right? Time. When somebody gives you their time, for all of us at some level or another, we feel valued. We feel loved. We feel appreciated. We feel affirmed. And yet, there's never enough time. Would you agree with me? I mean, I know I've never left work thinking I got everything accomplished I needed or wanted. How about you? I've never been able to check everything off the box and be able to say, you know what, I can finally leave. I got everything done I wanted and hoped for, and it's been the most productive day I've ever had. I've never lived that way. I've never experienced that, never had that. And so there's a tug on me that wants to stay until it all gets done. And yet I can say this, you know, I can't give Patty all the time she wants. I can't give my kids all the time they want. Or all the time that they need. And so there's a tension there. There's a tension. You know, there's a tension between work and home. There's just a tension there. And how do we manage that tension? Well, it's very, 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 very important. Very, very, very important. And so I'm never going to be able to give all my time to work. But I'm never going to be able to give all of my time to my family. And I just have to be able to manage that tension. I have to be able to do that. And yet what I found out is this. Where we get into trouble is this. And this is managing this tension. It's right here. It's this right here. It's when a season becomes a lifestyle. When a season becomes a lifestyle, that relationship will begin to suffer. And you say, what do you mean a season becomes a lifestyle? Have you ever said this? Okay, I have. We're just in this season. Because there are times, whether it's at work or whether it's at home, it just seems that, you know what, your focus needs to be more at work. Or maybe your focus needs to be more at home. And so we talk like this. We say, well, this is just a season. And we all have those things because there's different challenges, there's different demands. Okay, I don't believe in a balanced life. It's a myth. Okay? And so what happens is if we're not careful, it's when that season becomes a lifestyle. That means it's no longer a season. It's not 3 weeks or it's not 4 weeks. It's been 4 years, and now it's a lifestyle. Or maybe this, when a problem becomes a pattern. When a problem becomes a pattern. You say, what's a problem? A problem is I haven't been home very much this week. And I've missed 3 meals. That's a problem. Okay, you have a conversation about that, right? A pattern is when it continues that way. And so what happens is now you and I are expecting other people to adjust to our new lifestyle. Or we're expecting other people to adjust to our new pattern. And it begins to drain. The relationship, it begins to have an incredible impact on our relationships. Maybe with our spouse, maybe with our kids, maybe with other people in our life. And what begins to happen is this. Promises are broken. And what happens is we make promises. I promise you that this is going to be different. I promise you that this is going to change. I promise you that I'll be at the ball game and we're there with 2 minutes left in the game. I promise you I'll be at your choir recital and I'm there for the last song. And what happens is promises begin to be broken. Why? Because now it's a way of life. Now it's a pattern in my life. Or absenteeism. The fact of the matter is, I just don't show up for dinner anymore. You know, I get home late at night, and so what happens is maybe my plate's at the table, maybe my plate's not at the table. but I'm putting things in the microwave because everybody else has already eaten. And it's not a problem because we all go through there. It's not a season. It's a pattern and a lifestyle now. And so I'm just absent from important things, from events that's going on. I'm just not there. Or maybe it's this right here. It's just pointing to the future. Pointing to the future. And what happens is, you know, we're looking to the future. It's going to be better. It's like this, okay? It's kind of like when somebody wants to make up for the whole year so you have a big Christmas. And you think, if we just have a big Christmas, then somehow I hope that this will compensate for the other 364 days. And so we're constantly pointing to the future. Now, maybe you haven't experienced that. And if you haven't, I'm glad, okay? But there's a good chance you will. Because this is hard. This is very, very challenging. This is difficult. It's difficult for me. And the reason why I believe it's so difficult, and this is one of the reasons why I think that we need to address it, is because of this right here. We love progress and prosperity. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? I'm a builder, man. I got a big dream. I got a big vision. I want to do something. I love progress. I just love it. I'm created in the image of God. God's a creator. God's a builder. So there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with progress, and there's nothing wrong with prosperity. But we have to be able to manage that tension. Otherwise, the most important thing in life, our relationships with people, suffer. And so the only way that I believe that we can manage it is to begin to slow our roll. Otherwise, we'll keep making promises that we break. We'll keep being absent. We'll keep pointing to a better future, but we're never getting there. So we have to slow our roll. Now, here's what I want us to get again. You don't get relationships you desire. Truth be known, you desire a better marriage than what you have. You desire a better family life than what you have. We don't get the relationships we desire. You get the relationships that you invest in and that you build. And this is so, so huge. And so I have to manage that tension. I have to be very, very conscious of it. Otherwise, what happens is I will choose progress and prosperity over my personal relationship with my spouse and my kids. And it can do incredibly horrible things, things that sometimes we can't ever recover from. And if we can recover from it, it takes a long, long time. It takes a lot of work. A lot of work that many times we're not willing to do, and so we just throw in the towel. And so what's the answer? How can you and I slow our roll? Well, here's what I want you to know, because I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he lived and he died and he rose again. I believe the scriptures. And a man who believed in Jesus Christ himself and became very, very, very knowledgeable of him and experienced him in incredible ways. His name was Paul. He wrote much of the New Testament. He writes these words. He says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Wow. What's he saying? He's saying, submit to one another. I love the definition of mutual submission. Mutual submission is when you leverage all of your resources for the betterment of another person. And so what he is saying here is for me to submit to Patty. Got that, fellas? Huh? For me to submit to Patty out of reverence for Christ, because ultimately I'm submitting to him. And when I submit to Christ, what I'm saying is I'm choosing to trust you. And God is a God of order. And if we get it in the right order, then what happens is incredible stuff happens. And so I'm called to submit to Caleb, to Sarah, to Jonathan, to Ben, and to be able to say, hey, you know what? I want to leverage all that I have for your very, very best. And so I have tried. I don't do this perfectly, okay? Okay? I'm preaching the ideal. This is work, buddy. This takes intentionality. Nobody perfects this. We can only get better at it. And so what happens is my thing is to be able to come back and to be willing to submit to Patty and be able to say, how can I serve you? How can I serve you, Caleb? How can I serve you, Sarah? How can I serve you, Nate? How can I serve you, Jonathan? How can I serve you, Ben? Because there's nothing more important than relationships. And so Patty and I, when we were parenting, we're basically empty nesters now, time was always an issue of conflict for us. Why? Well, because of me. Because I love progress. And she had her own expectations. And so one of the things that we would do is we developed 21 blocks. 21 blocks. There's 3 blocks in a day. There's morning, there's afternoon, and there's evening. And so we would sit down and we decided how many blocks I could give to work. And we agreed on that. How many nights I could be away. We agreed on that. And then what happens is we would come back and we would fill this in. Because there were times that I thought I was home and I wasn't at home. All right? And there were a few times that I was home and she didn't remember I was home. And the way in which you have an unbelievable good fight is you let your emotions control you instead of the facts control you. And so what happens is we would come back. And there were times that she would have to say, you know what, I think we have a problem here. And though she maybe didn't say it in these words, she was saying, I don't want this to become a pattern. Because if it becomes a pattern, then we're going to suffer. Or maybe, you know, hey, I understand that you're in this season right now, but let's don't let this season become a lifestyle. And so there were certain things. You know, and I'm a yes person, okay? I like to say yes. And so I remember one time we were at home and somebody called and they said, hey, you want to go golfing? And I'm thinking, shoot, yeah, I'm not doing anything here. So I went golfing and I was headed out the door and Patty said, where are you going? I said, well, you know, so-and-so, Joe called and I thought I'd go hit 9 with him. And then I said these famous words. We weren't doing anything, were we? And you know what her expectation was? I thought you were just going to be home. Home, we're not making any progress here. You know, man, if I go to the golf course with Joe, maybe I can make some progress with him. And so what happened is this tool helped us. It's not a perfect tool, but it helps us. And it still helps me with my work, because what happens is it allows me to schedule different things in my work. But I had to come back and we had to have this mutual submission that she wanted me to do well at work. And I wanted to do well at home. I want to grow old with her. And I don't want my kids growing up hating the church. I'm a preacher's kid. And I've had lots of friends who are preacher's kids. They don't want anything to do with the church. Because what happens is they felt that their daddy had an affair with the church. And that it was his lifestyle. It was his pattern. And so now what happens is they felt like they got robbed of their childhood. Or maybe the spouse felt cheated. And so there's a little bit of bitterness or whatever towards the church. But guess what? You have to say your yes. I have to say my yes. You have to say your no. I have to say my no. And so what Paul says is, I want you to submit to one another. I want you to always be thinking, what is the best? How can I serve them? And Paul talks about this in a very descriptive way in Philippians. And here's what he says. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. What's he saying here is, Dwight, don't go after building a big church. That's selfish ambition. But what happens is I can hide it behind, I'm doing this for God, honey. Right? I'm doing this for God. And what I have seen, I have seen people wreck their marriage as well as their family doing ministry under the umbrella of for God. But I've also seen people wreck their marriage and wreck their family under the guidelines of going after a career. Honey, I just want us to have a better life than what we grew up with. I want our kids to have it better than us. And you know what Proverbs tells us? That a man or a woman can justify all of their ways, but the Lord weighs the heart. And so I've seen it happen in ministry. I've seen it happen in the marketplace. And what Paul was saying here is, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, he contrasts this, rather in humility, value others above yourself. Value Patty above yourself, Dwight. Value Caleb and Sarah and Jonathan and Benjamin above yourself. That's hard. I want you to know, okay? It's still hard today. Not only looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Wow. So that's that mutual submission. So Patty, how can I serve you? What's important to you? One of the things that was important to her was that we would eat together as a family. And so by and large, I didn't do this perfectly. I don't want anybody to think that I did this perfectly. I didn't. But by and large, I was home 5:45, 6 o'clock. We had supper together. That was one of the things. We had supper together. And I knew that was important to her. I knew it was important to her for me to go to the kids' events. And it was not only important to her, but it was important to the kids. And so in my own frailty, I was trying to look after her interests. Didn't do it perfect, still don't do it perfect, okay? And the interests of the kids. I know that they wanted, you know, if they were at a ball game, they wanted me to be there. If Jonathan was playing golf, he was going to look and see if I was on the golf course. And I knew it was important, and it was to their interest. And by the way, what happens is, when you do that, you disappoint a lot of people. Especially if you're a pastor. Especially if you're in ministry. Because everybody has needs. Everybody has wants. And Paul says here, he says, not only looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then he says these powerful words. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Wow. Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. See, Jesus couldn't do everything for everyone. But what Jesus did is he did for one what he wanted to do for everyone. And so it is in life. You can't do everything that everybody wants you to do. But you may be able to do for the one what you'd like to do for everybody. And that's what Jesus' mindset was. Because Jesus disappointed a lot of people. Now, what's the problem here, okay? What's the issue? It's not discipline, okay? It's not usually money. I believe the problem that we have here is fear. is fear. And that's what ends up wreaking havoc. And it's the fear that I'll never make it. Better make sure that you know what the it is. I'll never make it. What's it? Or I'll miss out. Or this one right here, I will be poor. Or I won't be accepted. Or I won't measure up. Or I won't matter. And really, all of this can be summed up in this word. Maybe you don't know this word, but let me help you with it. It's FOMO, fear of missing out. And so, you know, if I don't do this at work, if I don't do this with the community, if I don't do this here, then I might miss a promotion. I might miss a pay raise. I might miss progress. I might miss prosperity. I might miss whatever. But here's what I would say. Have you ever used FOMO for your marriage? Have you ever used FOMO for your family? The fear of missing out with your spouse? The fear of missing out with your kids? See, what usually drives us is fear. It's fear. And yet what I would say for me, okay, Stephen Covey in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, he talks about this. I remember reading this many, many years ago. He talks about one of the things that you need to do if you're going to be successful is you have to define your roles, R-O-L-E-S. And for me, my first role was that I'm a child of God. My second role is that I'm a husband. And my third role is that I'm a father. And so my two most important roles is being a husband and a father. It's ahead of pastoring New Point. It's ahead of leading New Point. These are the two most important roles that I have. And yet what happens if we're not careful, if I'm not careful, I will allow fear to cause me to forsake the two most important roles that I have because I'm chasing progress or prosperity. And again, there's nothing wrong with prosperity or progress. We're created like that. We just have to be able to understand that fear cannot drive us. That's why we have to choose trust. See, remember what we talked about earlier in this series? Jesus said it like this. He said, so don't worry. Don't be fearful, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans, these are people who believe in a God. They just don't believe in the right God. They have a distorted view of God. And you've heard me say this over and over again. Your view of God is the most important thing about you. He says, for the pagans run after all of these things. Check this out. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, your heavenly Father and my heavenly Father knows what you already need. He knows what I already need. And what happens is I'm called to trust him, to choose to trust him. And yet what happens is the reason why I don't fulfill my role as a husband or my role as a father is because of fear. And here's what Proverbs says about fear. Fearing people is a dangerous trap because I might just lose the most important relationships that I have. But trusting in the Lord means safety. I love what the Message says. The Message says it in this way. The fear of human opinion disables. It just disables you. Trusting in God protects you from that, though. Because fear is an unbelievable thing, and the fear of people's opinion is huge. So I've had to learn how to disappoint people. I can't go to all the graduations. Can't go to all the funerals. Can't make all the hospital calls. Can't do all the counseling. Like to. and battling the fear of human opinion is a weighty, weighty thing. And I have to confess, there have been times in my life it has disabled me. Man, it probably hurt my marriage and maybe my family. And I've said this before. You know, if I die, you're going to have a funeral. And then you know what? You're going to get a search committee together. And I'll be replaced. Patty's not going to replace me. Caleb, Sarah, Nate, Jonathan, Benjamin, not going to replace me. I remember laying on a bed 18 years ago, going in for heart surgery, telling God, I don't want my kids to grow up without a daddy. God spared me. But then I had to make a choice of whether they were going to grow up with an absentee daddy. Alive, but not there. And so what I have for us is this. Don't trade a role that only you can fulfill for a role that others can. You can't be replaced as a mom. You can't be replaced as a wife. You can't be replaced as a husband. You can't be replaced as a father. And so what does it come down to? It comes down to trust. And I want to close with this scripture here. Here's what he says in Jeremiah. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. Who trusts in the Lord and they got confidence in him. Look what he says. He says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. The heat is unexpected crisis in your life. It just comes upon you. And so what he is saying here is those who trust in God, they don't fear the unexpected. You see, the result of trusting in God is that we're protected. God, you're going to protect me. You know all things. So I'm not going to fear the unexpected. He goes on to say this. He says, it does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. That means a long extended time. And never fails to bear fruit. You know what he says here? Trusting in God not only protects me, but it's productive. It's productive. I always bear fruit because God's favor is on my life because I trust in him, which ultimately leads to what? Peace. And that's what we want. And in slowing your roll and trusting in God, what happens is God says to you and me, I'll protect you. I'll bring a productive fruit from your life, and you'll experience peace. But what's the problem? The problem is that we're fearful. Do you know the number one command in all of Scripture? They say that there's 365 of them. It's this right here. Fear not. Fear not. Trust in me. You trust in me, and if you place your confidence in me, then you know what? You will be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, who doesn't have to fear the heat, the unexpected, the unknown, who doesn't worry and doesn't lose over a drought season, but always produces fruit. He says, fear not. Listen to me as we wrap up. You'll never be happier than your relationships. There's no amount of money that will make you happy. There's no amount of success that will make you happy. It really doesn't matter how many people know your name. You won't be happy unless your relationships are strong and healthy. Doesn't matter what position you hold. You won't be happy unless your relationships are strong and healthy. And so here's my thing for us. Do not trade a role that only you can fulfill for a role that others can fulfill. Slow your roll. Choose to trust in God. I close with this. The psalmist says this, those who know you, Lord, will trust you. Maybe the reason why you don't trust God, you don't know him very well. What's it mean to know God? What's it mean to trust God? We would say that we believe that he is who he says he is. Do you know who he says he is? And that he will do what he has promised to do. And those who know him, when you really know God, you know what? The automatic thing is that you're going to trust him. Does that mean that you never battle fear? No, you always battle fear. You can't be courageous unless you're battling fear. But what happens is when you know God, you'll begin to trust him. I'm going to trust you at work. I'm going to trust that you honor me. But by the way, and let me just close with this, okay? If you're an employee, you're in an unbelievable position. You know why? Because if you have character and a good work ethic and you can get along with people, they will do anything to keep you. There's companies today can't even get somebody to pee in a cup and show up on time and have character. So you know what? If you got character, if you can get along with people, if you're humble, then what happens is, you know what? You go to your boss. You say, hey, here's what I can give you. This doesn't mean that you get lazy at work. Doesn't mean that you work 5 hours a day or whatever. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about working hard, but working strategic and working intentional. And I'll tell you this, nobody wants to lose an employee like that. And God will give you favor, but we have to trust in him. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We want to see you for who you are. You're big. You're awesome. You're all-knowing. You're all-caring. You're all-powerful. You're incredible. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Not even helping us manage this tension of this thing called time and relationships. You're more than able. All things are possible with you. And so I pray for myself and I pray for my friends here today that we would choose to trust in you and allow you to lead us, allow you to guide us, allow you to direct us in all of our ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.